Kim. Tim. There we go. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, breathe into us, fill us, reshape us. Let us hear the word you want to speak to us this day. Amen. A few years ago, I decided that I wanted to run a half marathon with my daughter, Stacy. Stacy, who was only 25 at the time. Stacy lives in Los Angeles, and so I flew to LA to do the rock and roll marathon with her. Running 13 miles with a band to greet you every mile or so sounded a lot easier than just listening to myself breathe hard. The morning of the race, we walked from Stacy's apartment to the place where the race would end, and with thousands of other people, we took a bus to the beginning of the course. I was a little nervous to begin with. Tim? There. No. Wrong way. Sorry. Go the other way. One more. Sorry. Sorry. Can we catch up? One more slide. I was a little nervous to begin with. It was really early in the morning, maybe 5:30 or so, and it was kind of cold, but I knew I would be hot while running, so I kept trying to figure out how many layers of clothes to wear and what I was going to do with those layers as I peeled them off during the race. I'd never run that far before, so I was worried about what if I couldn't make it. And then the bus started to drive. And it drove, and it drove, and it drove. I felt like we were never going to get to the starting line. I had no idea how far 13 miles was. We went on the freeway. We went on the freeway. It could have been 113 miles for all I knew. And my stomach got tighter and tighter the farther the bus drove, and especially every time we went up and over a hill, because I knew I'd have to climb up and down over that hill on foot. By the time we got to the place where the race started, I was so nervous about the whole thing that I probably would have ridden that bus home if they had let me. And then finally, we started to run, and it was fine. I ran some, I walked some. It turns out you can live through a half marathon. Who knew? Often, when we are doing something new, for the very first time, or maybe when it's such a big thing that it will happen only once in our lives, we are anxious when we come to its beginning, especially if we've had some time to anticipate what's ahead of us. Maybe you confirmation students have felt a little bit like this as you've thought about this big step you're taking today. In fact, I know that you have, because some of you have asked big, important questions like, what will change after I'm confirmed? Will I have to be or do something different, especially around the church? And the truth is, each of you will have to answer that question for yourself. But as far as the church is concerned, today you are doing everything you have to do to make you a full member of this congregation. You can vote when the church makes big decisions. You can serve on committees. You can be liturgists and greeters and leaders. You can be Wednesday Wonder Workers. But maybe most importantly, now that you have decided to be an official member of the church, you can, and I hope you will, think of yourself as a host, an owner of this church. That's the most important responsibility of church members, to welcome other people and to let them know that this is a place where they are welcome and accepted just as they are. But way more than what you do around the church, what matters today is this. You can treat this day, your confirmation, as no big deal, or you can see it as a significant moment in your life, a starting place on a long road that will take you somewhere. And where will this road take you? Where is that finish line? What's the goal of trying to live a life that makes God happy? A life of trying to put your shoes into Jesus' footprints? Some people would say that the goal is about being sure that you get to heaven after you die. I suppose that might be true, but a lifetime seems like a really long time to be getting ready for your real life. Like a 90-year bus ride to the beginning of the race. I think God has hopes for us, a goal for us to keep our eyes on in this life. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who I know you studied in your confirmation class, Wesley believed that every one of us is going on to perfection in this life. Going on to perfection. That's a big idea. What he meant by perfection was not that we would never make a mistake again. It's that he believed that we could get to the point in this life, where everything we do comes out of love. Love for God, love for other people, unselfish love. The kind of love that doesn't ask first, what's in it for me, or will it hurt? Wesley believed that if we keep our eyes on the goal, if we stay as close as we can to Jesus, we might change enough, our hearts can grow enough, to love almost the way that God loves us. I want to tell you about someone who seems like she got pretty close to that goal. Her name is Kayla Mueller. Kayla died earlier this year when she was just 26. You may have heard about her in the news. She was killed by ISIS after she was kidnapped while she was helping orphans and refugees in Syria. Kayla grew up in Prescott, Arizona. She went to high school there, and then she went to college not very far away at Northern Arizona University. But somewhere along the way, maybe in high school, Kayla started to look different from lots of the other kids around her. She was interested in people who lived far away. She cared about the earth and about places where people were suffering, Palestine, Darfur, India. She volunteered at summer camps for immigrants, helping them to learn what they needed to know about life in the United States. She worked at a shelter for homeless women and children. In college, she started clubs to make other people more aware of what was going on in Palestine and Syria and other places where there is no peace. She explored Buddhism, and she stayed connected to the Christian campus ministry at her college. Kayla's concern for other people made her courageous. She did things, big, important things, that most of us would have been afraid to do. Before she was kidnapped in Syria, Kayla said this. She said, "This really is my life's work. to go where there is suffering. I find God in the suffering eyes reflected in mine. If this is how you are revealed to me, God, this is how I will forever seek you. Now, Kalo was an extraordinary person. She made a big difference in the world, and not very many people will do the things she did in her short life. But Kalo was a normal kid, too. I want you to see this little video of her taken one summer while she was in college. It's coming. Shall we let it go? That was the right music.
She says, please.
Sorry. One more second and then let's let it go. We'll come back and show you that video another time. I really want you to see it. Kayla was running her race. She wasn't just riding on the bus, waiting to arrive at the starting line. There it is. Nope, that's not it. She was doing it. And she started when she was very young. Her heart leaned toward people who were suffering. And for her, the goal, the finish line, was to give her whole self to other people, to helping them. And that's what she did. Now, most of us have no idea when we are 12 or 13 or 14 how our lives will turn out. The work we will do, or where we'll live, or who will come alongside of us in our adult years. But it is not too early for you to make a decision about the kind of person you want to be. You're making an important statement about that today, with your decision to be confirmed. You are saying, here's the video.
She's catching travel fever in a blue train car. She doesn't look too far in the past, something's wrong. Yesterday's steps are already gone. Ripples run with the water, and raindrops melt her skin. She can't catch her in her tiny hands. Can't quite touch the ceiling, always swimming for the land. Ripples run with the water, and raindrops melt her skin. Someday the river meets the sea. Stop running, 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 running from the world. Thank you.
not over yet.
I just get dark in the face.
Man, I'm not even kidding. Last year,
So what I have to say to all my loved ones in Prescott is that I will always love you. And it's never goodbye among friends. I hope I never forget that everything happens for a reason and that nothing should be a regret. And that you're always learning about yourself through other people and you're always learning about life. And that process never stops.
Our decision today to be confirmed. I want to be someone who brings a little bit of Jesus into every place I go. A little more kindness and generosity. More attention to see who is not being included and who is suffering. More courage to do the right thing even when you have to step out alone to do it. And may I say to the rest of us, it is never too late to make that decision again. The writer whose words Marlene read this morning, the author of the letter to the Hebrews, put it in terms of a race. We are surrounded by witnesses, he said, people who are watching us to see what followers of Jesus look like, and people who are cheering us on. So take off all those extra layers and bags that you're carrying so you can run. So you can run as long as it takes to get to the finish line. And when you get tired or afraid that you won't be able to make it up that next hill, look up and you will see Jesus in front of you on the very same road. If you don't see him in front of you, maybe that's a sign that you've lost your way, veered off onto the wrong path. All of us do that from time to time. And so we pray. We have to pray every day. Here I am, God. Help me today to pay attention. Give me strength and courage and patience to go wherever the Spirit leads me. Help me to love other people the way you love me. It's like breathing, that prayer. It lets us breathe in fresh air and energy we need to keep running all the way to the finish line. We are blessing you today, you confirmands. We are blessing you as you start your own race. Here's this whole church full of people cheering you on. They're pointing out the course, saying, watch for that next turn, or come on, you're almost to the top of the hill. We're ready to give you a hand if you fall, and a place to rest when you get tired. And always, always, we will be reminding one another, don't forget to look up and to breathe. Amen.